Yeah. Woo! You guys are pumped, huh? Come on. I feel it. I feel ya. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, good evening, you guys. It is so good to be with you guys tonight. My name is Chris Norman. Like I said, I met Nate, or is it Nine Round over there? You guys, it is a blessing to be with you guys. You know, junior high, high school years were some of the best years and the worst years of my life. Best years in that I met this girl named Tatum. She's cute. Can I say she's hot? She's hot. She's a cute girl. And so that was like the best years of my life because I met this girl, Tatum. The worst part of it is that as I was chasing her, she ran really hard. Real hard. She ran from me. She was really into like the, let's just say, you know, I was kind of like a late bloomer. You know what I mean? And she was into these guys like that were manly. Not that I wasn't manly, it's just I was a late bloomer. You know what I mean? And I remember always going, she'd be chasing like these tall, dark, and handsome guys, like these dudes that, you know, were just like it. And then there was me. And I was a late bloomer. And I remember like going to, I think it was like our, gosh, maybe going into like from eighth grade and ninth grade, we had like this graduation party. And all my buddies would always like be bragging about like, hey, you know, I'm starting to grow some hair in my armpit. You know, it's like, this is like the thing they're bragging about. Check it out, bro. You know, look at it. It's all boink. It's the little, hello. You know, it's kind of like, what is that? You know? And I remember I was just bald. Like, there's no boink. It's like bald, you know? And so we went to this graduation party from, I think it was eighth grade. I don't know. Remember? I can't remember. But we went to this graduation party. It had to be at the beach, right? So you got to have your shirt off because you're at the beach. And then everybody wants to play volleyball. And it's like, what's that all about? He's like, you know, sir, and the guys are all into it. Service, you know, check it out. You know, like that whole thing. And here's me the whole time. You know, it's kind of, I don't want to do this still because, like, check out Norman. He's bald, right? But here's the thing, guys. You know, I chased that girl. I was persistent. Can I tell you something? Persistence pays off big time. It pays off. And so I got to marry this beautiful girl. Her name's Tatum. She's in the back. Say hi, Tatum. It's my wife. And I chased her for years. And we ended up getting married. We've been married now for almost 12 years, okay? Believe it or not. We've got three kids. My oldest, his name is Elias. He's 8 years old. I got a middle child. She's a girl named Raya, and she just turned six, like right before we came out here. And then I got a little girl named Cadence. She is three, about to be four, and just beautiful kids. Love them, and I'm missing them big time. They're with grandma and grandpa being spoiled. And it's always a pain getting the spoiled out of them when we get home. So pray for me on that when we get back. And anyway, guys, super stoked to be here with you guys tonight. I really believe God wants us to rock your worlds tonight and over this weekend and reveal himself to you guys in a fresh way. You guys got your Bibles? Okay, so do me a favor, hold them up and go, Word. Come on, hold them high, go, Word. Get out your Word, and you're going to open to a couple places tonight, okay? We're going to go over to Proverbs chapter 4. If you can't find it, ask your buddy. Have them help you find it, Proverbs chapter 4. You put a finger there. You can put another finger over in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2. My wife and I have been pastoring a Kingsfield Church in Irvine, California for about 2.5 years now. And the Lord is just doing some huge stuff. Keep us in prayer as we keep watching God move. I've always heard about what God's doing out here and just blessed to be a part of it. So Genesis chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 4. And here's what's going to go on tonight, you guys. Tonight, I just want to give you guys a little bit of perspective on what we're going to be talking about over this week. And really what we're going to be discussing over this week is the issue of perspective. Can someone say perspective for me? Perspective. That's what we're going to be talking about over this weekend together, is this concept of perspective. Here's the deal. I really genuinely believe this. And so I want you guys to pay attention to this, okay? I really genuinely believe this. I genuinely believe that our God is big. Hear me. I genuinely believe that God wants to do a big work through people who are willing to yield their lives to him. I genuinely believe that God desires to do a work in your generation, okay? He desires to do a work in your life as an individual. He desires to do a work in your life as a group here. He desires to do a work in your generation. And God desires to use you guys to transform our nation. I really genuinely believe that. You know, whenever you look at these revivals, you look at when God's poured out his spirit, it's always been with the youth who are just crazy enough to believe that God was big, crazy enough to believe that God can do big works, crazy enough to hold on to God in faith and say, Lord, here I am, use me. And I believe God wants to do that. So I'm praying that this weekend God would grip some hearts in this place and God would use you guys to spark a fresh revival in your land, in your area, that we would watch God move in a powerful way. I genuinely believe that God desires to do that here and now, in this room, tonight, and through this weekend. And I'm going to challenge you guys, as Christian did in worship tonight, just to open your lives and go, God, here I am. What do you have? Speak to my heart. And I believe that he's going to do just that. You know, over this weekend, like I said, we're going to be looking at some building blocks for that move of God, that just kind of the things that I believe God would want to speak into this generation. And I want to give you some building blocks to kind of use as the foundation in your life right now and the work that God wants to do through your life. And so the theme, again, is perspective. And tonight what I want to do is give you a perspective on perspective, okay? So with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you so much, Jesus. And we thank you, God, that you love us. What a mind-blowing thing that you, creator of heaven and earth, you look down upon us and you love us. You desire to draw us near to yourself. Tonight, God, I pray that you would speak to us in a powerful way, that you would move in our lives. God, as we look at this issue of perspective and how important it is, God, that we have the right perspective, your perspective, in everything that we say and everything we do and everything we believe, Jesus, we need to have your perspective. Father, I pray that that truth would become clear tonight. And that truth would be a building block in our lives by which, Jesus, you can launch your work in our lives and in this planet. So, Father, we surrender to you now, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, everyone agreed together and said?
Amen.
No, everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Hey, listen, when my wife and I got married 12 years ago, almost 12 years ago, we weren't quite ready for kids yet. And so you always do the first thing that everyone does when they're not ready for kids. They go out and they get themselves a dog, right? So we went out and we got ourselves a dog. Like, hey, let's try this whole parent thing on for size, right? So, you know, we researched a lot and kind of came to the place where it's like, is it going to be a golden retriever or a Labrador? Anyone have a golden retriever or Labrador in here? Those dogs rock, right? So where is it going to be a golden retriever or is it going to be a Labrador? And we're going through the paper and we found this ad. It said half lab, half golden retriever. We thought, perfect, right? Works. So we go out and we get this dog and we get her as a puppy and her name's Dakota. Cutest dog ever, right? It's our baby. And we at that time had just, we had just gotten married. We're like 3 months into this thing. We get this dog and we're moving up to Northern California to take over a youth ministry up there in the middle of nowhere. I mean, like our biggest problem is deer eating bushes in our front yard. It's just like middle of nowhere, right? So we move to the middle of nowhere with this dog. And I would love taking her on walks. There's this lake by us. What's the name of that lake, honey? Jinx Lake or something like that? Well, Lake Taboo, that's what it was. So we go walk. Yeah, that tells you a little bit about the story. Here we go. Lake Taboo, right? So we go walking around Lake Taboo, and there's always some kind of adventure going on. There's like horses out there. There's cow out there. There's just, you never know what's going to happen. So we'd always bring the leash because Denali, or Dakota, would like to chase the, we have a dog now named Denali. Dakota back then. We would walk her around and always have to have the leash because she'd go trying to chase a horse or chase a cow and it'd always make him, you know, we'd always get in a mess and whatnot. So we bring her a leash. And this one time as we're walking around the lake, we get past the horses, we get past all the cows, we think, let's take her off. You know, we're going to keep her on the leash as we kind of come around. There's this dam that kind of blocks the lake from flowing over. Now here's the picture you got to get in your head, right? We're crossing over the dam with Dakota. And as we go across, there's this family. Now, get this picture, right? There's this family down there, and they're fishing. They're doing the whole thing. They got their blanket laid out all nice and perfect. They got their fishing poles, and their line all out in the water. They've got, their kids are down there, and they've got bread, and they're throwing them out to the ducks, you know, just smiling, this happy family. Little backstory. Dakota loves chasing ducks. I mean, this is like her passion in life, right? So, throwing the bread, ducks are all over, life's happy. We're walking across the dam, the family's over there, and as we do, my wife starts to move her hand down toward Dakota's leash, and she's going to unhook it, right? And I'm looking at her like, what are you thinking? scene, and with everything in me going, no, and it's all slow motion, it's all too late. Click, she takes it out. I'm going, what? The dog was up like, you serious right now? You're kidding me. And she goes, g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g- fish running down this hill. Family fishing, throwing bread in the water. Life's great. They turn around, mom first, of course. No! She's screaming. She's thinking, get my children, kids. She screams. They turn around. Ah, bread goes everywhere. This dog comes flying down. And she doesn't like go around the blanket, doesn't, you know, just right through the middle. Kids everywhere. The line. Dad's like wrapped up in the stuff. Bloosh, into the water, chasing the ducks. All the fish that were there are like on the other side of the lake going, no, thank you. Ducks are everywhere. The kids are screaming, mom, it's just this mess. And there's what I want you to catch in that story is this, the perspective, right? From my wife's perspective, she's thinking, dogs and ducks getting along together. The kid's like, look how cute, the dog, you know, like that's what's happened in her head. You know, in the mom's head, she's like this vicious monster about to devour my children, right? That's what she's thinking. Two totally different perspectives. My wife, oh, dogs and ducks get along and everything's great. This monster's going to kill my children. You know what I mean? These two different perspectives of the same story. And here's what I want you guys to understand is that based on that perspective, based on that view, the way they saw things, they responded. There was action based upon their perspective. And guys, here's the thing. Each of us in this room, we all act according to our perspective, our point of view. See, perspective is this, if you're taking notes. Perspective is the evaluation of a situation from one person's point of view, okay? Or it's from a person's mindset. And it's your perspective, get this, that determines your action. The way you see a situation determines how you're going to respond or handle that situation. That's why I asked you guys tonight to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. I want you to see something. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says this. Listen, read it with me if you could. It says this. Guard your hearts with all diligence. Come on. For out of it springs the issues of life. Try one more time. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. What is that proverb saying, guys? What is that proverb saying? It's saying this, that what you have in your heart impacts your life in a huge way. That what you have in your heart is the foundation of who you are. If you're taking notes, point one, the foundation. It's the foundation of who we are. The heart refers to the inner man. We're not talking about inner child or anything here, you know? We're talking about the seat of your emotion, the place where you make your decisions, okay? Out of that spring or flow the issues of life. Not only the way we handle situations, but the way we handle people is based upon our perspective or what we have in our heart, right? You've all experienced this, right? People treating you a certain way based upon the way you dress, the way you look, what you drive, right? For me, we have two cars in our family. And you know what it is? Like, it's probably like with your mom and dad the same way. One of the cars is nice and the other car is like junk. You know what I mean? So we have two cars in our family. And guess who gets the junk car? My wife does, of course. Listen, I'm kidding. I get the junk car. It's the one, the wheel this whole time. And here's what I've noticed. When I'm driving that car, see, I live in Orange County, and I live right next to this place known as Cota de Cause. It's like where, you know, all the rich people live, okay? And so here they come driving down in their Escalades with the spinners, you know, the whole thing, and they're cruising down. And here I come over in my Ford Explorer that's like falling apart. I put my blinker on because I want to get over, and they're like, they look at me like, are you kidding? You want to put that piece of junk in front of my Escalade? Don't think so, right? They're like, they give me an attitude because I'm driving my Ford Explorer. We have another car that's pretty decent. You know, it's a Tahoe. Looks pretty nice. We were blessed. Somebody hooked us up with this thing. And I noticed this. When I'm driving that car, I put my blinker on. I want to get over the car. oh, hey, come on over. I don't mind because you're in that car, right? And people treat us different just based upon what we drive or the way we look. You've experienced this, right? You walk into a room and all of a sudden it's like, bzz, bzz, they scan you. You know what I mean? You feel it. Like they look at you and they're like, uh-huh. And they start to treat you based upon their perspective of who you are, what they think you're like, and they start either vibing you or inviting you based upon, you know, the decision they've made about who you are. And we all do the same thing too. When we see people, when you see somebody, you do it. Come on, don't lie. They walk in, the first thing you do is, bzz, bzz, are they worthy to hang out with me? My attention or not. I'm going to treat them based upon what? My perspective. What I have in my heart. Hey, listen, I'm going to throw a picture up for you guys really quick. You guys have that picture? Tell me I can't see. You guys have that? Okay, look. So here's the deal, right? This is a picture of my wife on the far right. Okay, that's my wife right there. This is when they came back from England. I used to joke with my wife. I'd say, hey, listen, she was going to England for a couple weeks. I said, hey, when you come back, you're going to come back like, excuse me, but I said, you can come back like Euro trash. I just know it's going to happen, right? And so I tease her all the time. And so she decided to play a joke on me and get off the plane, you know, fly all the way home like this and get off the plane dressed like this on the right. Here's the deal. How would you treat these guys? You know? Try going through customs dressed like that. Try getting out, sitting next to someone on the airplane dressed like that. Here's the deal. They got treated like trash just because they were dressed this way. Okay? And then people are, what are you guys doing? What's up? And Tatum would tell them the story that, you know, the whole thing, how I was joking that they'd come back as you're trash, and all of a sudden everybody's into it. They think it's this great idea, you know? And here's the deal. She got off the plane like that. I'm like, what happened to my girl? You know, what happened to my wife? And it was this night that Tatum actually told me she loved me right before we got married. So here's this girl with spikes in her hair. She's looking all funky, and she's like, oh, and by the way, I love you. I'm like, great. Just don't do this again, okay? Just let's leave this out of our relationship completely. Perspective. So Tatum, I mean, she keeps joking, I should write a book about the way I got treated, just dressed like that, you know, messing around. We do that to people. We have it done to us because we make decisions based upon the perspective or the way we see things in our heart. Listen, Jesus speaking on this issue of the heart, he said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. He said, you have heard it said in the law of Moses, do not commit adultery. But watch what Jesus says. But I say, anyone who looks after a woman and lusts after her where? In his heart has committed adultery with her already. Because let me ask you this question. Where does a lifestyle of sin begin? Where does that begin? Does somebody just wake up one day, you know, crack cocaine? Like, did you just wake up one day and go, you know what? I'm a crack addict. It just doesn't happen. You don't just wake up one day and all of a sudden, hey, I'm addicted to crack. Or, hey, you know, I'm a full-blown adulterer. I'm an adulteress. Hey, you don't just wake up one day. Where does it happen? It begins, that lifestyle of sin, that lifestyle of rebellion begins where? With a perspective in your heart. It's been said like this before, that we toy with thoughts that lead to actions. And those actions turn to habits, and those habits turn to lifestyles. Let me say that again. We toy with thoughts that lead to actions. Those actions lead to habits, and those habits lead to lifestyles. That our perspective begins to shape who we are. Those things rise to the surface, and they impact our life in a big way. Mark 7:20 says this, Jesus speaking. He says, what comes out of a man, says that defiles a man. From within, from the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceitfulness, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Listen, all evil things come from where? From within that defile a man. It's these perspectives that we have. And guys, not only the things we do, not only the way we treat people, but the things we say. Listen, the things you say, where do they originate? In your heart, from your perspective, the way you see life and you see things. Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, Matthew 12, he said this. He says, you brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? He says, for where your heart is determines what you say. Even the things we say, you've had somebody come up to you and they just lay into you and they go, oh man, I'm just joking. You're thinking, no, you're
you're being honest. That stuff came from your heart. You've been chewing on that for a while, and I kind of feel it. And then it tears you down. It messes you up. Because where's that coming from? It's from this perspective, this view in their heart. And those perspectives, as we allow them to take shape in our life, they will affect our lives. Because you understand that our hearts are the foundation of who we are. You know, advertising agencies know this, don't they? And they spend thousands and millions and billions of dollars to own thoughts inside of your heart, to own thoughts inside of your head, right? That's why when I say stuff like, hey, just do it, you think what? Nike. They paid, you know, bunloads of money for you to know that. They just dump millions of dollars into that. It's like, hey, just do it. Oh, I got to get myself a pair of Nikes, right? If I say a place for friends, you think what? MySpace. Why? Because they pour millions of dollars to say, hey, I need some friends right now. I need some friends. I'm feeling lonely. I'm going to go on MySpace, right? Because they want to own that in your head. If I say, hey, let's go somewhere happy. Let's go to the happiest place in the world. Where are you going to go? Disneyland, right? Because so next time you're feeling down, you're like, man, you know, I'm feeling bummed today. I'm going to go to Disneyland. The happiest place on earth. They've paid millions of dollars to own that stuff in your brain, you guys. And during the Super Bowl this last year, advertising agents, they spent for a 30-second spot about $2.7 million a piece. Just for a little 30-second spot. Why? To grab thoughts in your head. To own your perspective. Because they know, listen, if I could grab their perspective, I could then grab their actions. Pay attention to that. If I could grab their point of view, I could grab the way that they are going to respond to life. And here's the thing, guys. Your thoughts, your heart, your perspective is the foundation of who you are. And because of that, a fight ensues. Second point, fight. There's a fight to own the thoughts and the perspectives of your lives. In much the same way that advertising agencies spend all this money to own those things in your head, so does our enemy. Satan goes after those thoughts. He goes after those things in your head. He seeks to own them, guys, because listen, by affecting the way we think, he can get us to rebel. He can get us to act. He can move us to a place of defeat. Understand that. By affecting the way we think, he can move us to a place of defeat by owning those things in our head. Jesus said this, listen, John 8:32. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you, talk to me, free. You'll know the truth, the truth's going to set you free. And in the same way, our enemy would come in, and he would say the exact opposite. I will tell you a lie, and a lie will leave you bound. The truth will set you free, a lie will leave you bound. A truth will bring you into life and life more abundantly. A lie will tear you down and destroy you. So the enemy goes, the enemy seeks, the enemy lurks around, seeing how he can own thoughts and perspectives inside your life. He wants to own those things. He goes after those things, and he's been doing it from the beginning. I asked you guys to turn over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Watch this. Genesis 2. God is here giving Adam some direction. He's like, listen, buddy, here's what's up. I've created this beautiful world for you to chill in. I've given you this beautiful woman. And here's the deal. We've got one rule, okay? One rule. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely, what? Die. He's like, Adam, listen, buddy. We could hang out in this perfect, planned universe, having this great fellowship and this great relationship. But here's the deal. Don't eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, because the day you do, this is all going to be destroyed. This harmony, this rhythm of life that we have with one another is going to be destroyed. Okay? So guess what happens? Life's going along great. Everything's fine and dandy. Genesis chapter 3, who shows up in the picture? Satan, right? Comes along, hey, Eve, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Come here, girl, right? Come here, come here. And this is what we read. Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 5. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said,
You shall not eat of every tree in the garden. Watch what the girl does. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of all the fruit of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. I want to point something out to you. Did God say you can't touch it? He didn't say you couldn't touch it. You could play baseball with it all day long if you wanted to, right? The thing was, don't eat it. So Satan comes along and already get her like confused about what God said. He said not to eat it and then not to touch it or something like that. You know, already starting to confuse what God had told her. Watch what the serpent does. Verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan comes along and he wants to stir her away from what God has spoken to her. So we know the story. Eve takes a bite. Adam's standing around like, hey, give me a piece. You know, what's up? You know, and he takes a bite. And we know that they are then, what, banished from that garden. That in the day they ate of it, the rhythm and the life that they had with God was destroyed. And they were moved outside the garden. Outside that fellowship that they once experienced with God. They moved to a place of what? Defeat. They moved to a place of defeat. Satan has been doing that from the beginning, you guys. And listen, the fight continues right now. The fight continues today. What our generation, what this generation needs to understand, you guys, is Satan is after those thoughts and those intents in your head. He's fighting hard to own those things. He uses every influence, guys, and understand this. Every influence from media to friends to family, TV shows, music, you name it. Every influence he can to do what? To shape the way you're thinking. To shape your perspective. Because if he could own that, he owns you. And here's the thing. It always starts out small, doesn't it? It's never like these huge things. Like Satan didn't come in and say, hey, listen, Eve, you know, God's a total idiot. You don't even want to talk to him. And gosh, it was just kind of cunning. Like, did God really say that? I mean, he's getting her to question. Did that really happen, Eve? And it's always just these small little things. Maybe it's like, you know, girls, it's some drop-dead gorgeous guy, right? Like, oh, check him out. You know what I mean? Or guys, you're like, whoa, you know, I know the rule. This weekend, we're not supposed to be, you know, checking out, but hello. You know what I mean? Like, she's really cute. You know? Or maybe at your school, there's some guy or some girl, and here's the thought that happens in your head, like, you know, they're not a Christian, but that's cool, right? I mean, it's not a big deal. Not a big deal, right? I mean, a little missionary dating, you know? I'm going to lead him to Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. It's all cool. And we start just a little variance from what God's word said. What does God's word say? Do not be unequally yoked, period, in the subject. But we're kind of like, you know, I wonder, maybe not a big deal. Or maybe on your computer and you're thinking, you know, like chat room. You know, you love it. You can just be anybody you want. They don't know you. Like, yeah, I live here, I drive this, my mom, you know what I mean? You could just make up anything. You're like, you know, I'm in a chat room, no big deal. Just a little lie, just a little, you know, expanding the truth a little, you know? No big deal. Or you know, that website, it's no big deal if I just kind of check it out, you know, just real quick. It doesn't really do anything to me. Who cares? You know, it's like, no big deal. Oh, lying to the parents. You know, I'm not really lying. I'm just kind of stretching the truth a little. I mean, I'm just not telling them all the details, right? They don't need to know all the details. And we start thinking this way of just these little variances from God's word. It'd be anything, guys, a book you're reading, you know, a stupid commercial you're watching on TV. It's just ridiculous, like, right, the stuff on TV. They beer commercials. It's like, what's that all about, right? Here are these guys in the middle of, like, the Antarctica, snowing, all of a sudden, hey. Coors or Budweiser, and the jacuzzis pop out of nowhere, girls are running around, hey, party, you know, and here's the thing, like, we're supposed to think, like, oh, you mean if I open, we don't really think that, but what are they doing? They're trying to own your thoughts, right? They're trying to draw you in to this way of thinking, and here's the deal, guys, lives are being destroyed, okay? Families are being destroyed. Generations are being destroyed. I'm in fear that your generation can be destroyed and ripped off from all that God has if you allow yourself to be trapped in these lies of the enemy. It continues today. The lies of the enemy take root in people's lives and they justify the sin that grows out of it. Listen, 28% of teens younger than 17 have visited adult sites in the last month. Okay? Pornography in the last month. 28% of teens younger than 17. 21% of those teens accessing porn are 14 years or younger. 14 years or younger. Teens are trying to raise children right now because, hey, we were in love. You know, got fed that lie, got fed that story. In the U.S. today, nearly 1 million teens become pregnant out of wedlock every year, and close to 50% of those unplanned pregnancies end in an abortion. Sexually transmitted diseases continue to claim their lives, infecting 15 million Americans each year. Approximately 40,000, guys, 40,000 new HIV infections per year in the USA today alone. In the USA alone, the number of people living with HIV is approximately 1 million, and there is an accumulative, there's an additional 300,000 that might not even know they have it, okay? The cumulative AIDS death toll is over 22 million people. Drugs and alcohol, I mean, just these basic things. Today, 54% of high schoolers will use illicit drugs over their lifetime. 26% of those are currently addicted right now. 26% of those 54% that will use. Right now, guys. All because of what? All because they believed a lie. All because they bought into something that was not true. That lie that leaves them bound. All because they allowed themselves to develop a perspective that wasn't biblical. That wasn't what God had for their lives. And so we see lives being destroyed. We see families being destroyed. And here's my question. What about you right now? What's your perspective on life? How do you view things? Do you see life through the Bible and what's true? Do you have truth in your heart? Or is there lies that have snuck into your life right now, guys? And I want you to search your life. I want you to look at your life and go, are there things that I've allowed to take root in my life that are just not true? Seeds of lies that have been sown into the soil of my heart that are just not true. And I'm allowing them to sit there. I'm allowing them to grow. I'm babying them and I'm watering them because, oh, I kind of like them. And, oh, I'm going to keep it under control. Oh, I'm not going to let it grow out of control in my life. I'm going to keep it under control. And we just kind of tell ourselves that. Here's what you guys need to know. God has so much more for you. The enemy's going to come and feed you lies, and you've got to be able to know and discern the difference. Even things like this. Hey, you know, God's going to use everybody but you. God loves everybody but you. God can forgive everybody but you. Those are all lies from the pit of hell, you guys. These are all things that the enemy throws at us. Oh, everybody else is doing great but you. Oh, God can forgive everything except that sin, that one thing you did. That thing is he's going to hold on to. All these lies that get fed to us. So here's what you guys need to know. Your heart and your perspective is the foundation of who you are, okay? There's a fight going on to own it. And I'm going to ask you guys this weekend to grab hold of a filter. Okay, a filter. This is the last point. And the filter is God's word. Notice what Proverbs 4:25 says, right? It says, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep it. You know what that word means when he says keep your heart? It means that you fight to preserve it, to watch over it, to guard it from dangers. You guys, listen close. It's an action word. It's not like you're sitting around the couch eating bonbons, kind of going, I don't care what happens in my heart and my mind. It's this action word where you're going, I don't want any crud in my heart. I don't want any lies to take root in my heart. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to guard my perspective. It's like taking one of those little filters. You guys ever, or one of those little, what do they call those dills? You go down to the beach and you fill them up with sand and you go, come on, help me out. Sifter, sure. You take a sifter, right? And you've done this before. You guys have done this. You go to the beach and you pick up a bunch of sand. I'm sorry, you're in New Mexico. Maybe not the beach. Maybe the lake. You're at the lake. And you fill it up with a bunch of sand. And then what do? You go, and what happens? Well, if you're in our beaches, you're like, hey, look, a syringe. Okay, you know, we'll place that over there. Pack of cigarettes. It's getting better. You know what I mean? There's just junk. There's just junk in that sand. And as you sift it, all the pure stuff is allowed to go through and the garbage gets sifted out. And that's the thing that we need to realize. God's word needs to become that filter in our life. As junk is getting thrown at us, we're like, hang on, filter it through God's word. I'm gonna determine what sticks in my heart, what doesn't stick in my heart, what I allow to grow in my heart, what I don't allow to grow in my heart, based upon does it make it through God's word? Does it make it through truth? Because if it doesn't make it through truth, I don't want anything to do with it. Because it's gonna ultimately destroy me. It's gonna ultimately ruin me. And Satan will try to make you think, no, it's just a little deal. It's just a little lie. It's just a little rebellion. It's just a little sin. It's just a little, you'll be okay. No, you won't be okay. We've got to have that filter in our lives. David was a man who knew what God desired in our heart. He says this, Psalm 51:6. David says, behold, you desire what? Truth in the inward parts. David knew that. And so David became a man who constantly sought for truth in his heart. A man who sought for truth in his life. Listen to David's prayer in Psalm 139, verse 22 and 23 and 24. David's praying, and he says this. He says, search me, O God, listen, and know me. He says, know my heart, right? Test me and know my what? Thoughts. Point out anything that offends you and lead me in the path everlasting. David comes before God, and hear this, guys. He opens up his life and he goes, God, I don't want any junk in my life. I don't want any falsehood in my life. I open it up to you. And God, I ask you just to sift your hand, take your hand and sift it through my life and remove any junk, remove anything that's not true. Give me the right perspective. Guys, and it's not only an issue of getting the bad stuff out. It's an issue, listen, having the right perspective is an issue of getting the good stuff in. It's like your mind's just like a huge vacuum, right? Your mind's just going, this huge vacuum. Just, and what are you going to plug that thing into? Just, you know, what is it going to be? TV? You know? What is it? You're like, internet? You know, and your mind is just wandering around looking to plug itself in, looking to absorb information. And you've got to be a person who says, not only am I going to filter the bad stuff out, I want the good stuff in. I want truth in my inward parts like David was praying. God, give me that stuff. You know, they say garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. People think, oh, it's no big deal. It's a little garbage. Think about the logic in that for a second. Just a little trash. If I invited you over to my house, I'm like, hey, we're going to have brownies tonight. You guys want brownies? Brownies sound great. That's not good. Let's go have a party at my house with brownies. Now listen, these brownies are awesome. The best ingredients in the world. Ghirardelli chocolate. It's like the deal. You guys like walnuts? I love nuts. You don't like nuts? It's half and half, all right? We'll just split it up. Half nuts, half not, whatever. I'll be on the nuts side. Totally dig them. Now here's the deal. The only deal is like, you know, 98% of this stuff is amazing ingredients, but there's like, you know, just like 2% of this stuff I found in the yard. It looks right. It fits. And we needed a little more volume. You know, I was kind of like, we weren't going to have enough brownies for everybody. So just we added just 2%. Just, that's it. What kind of idiot would be like, bring it on. You know what I mean? You want it. You'd be like, no, thank you. I don't care how much Ghirardelli you got in that. I don't want it. But yet, we do this all the time. It's a movie, right? And there's people out there going, all right, now listen, the movie only has 4 F words, 3 sex scenes. Dude, it's pretty good. You know, there's people that we pay to watch this stuff and tell you, here's how much, you know, poo-poo is in the brownies. And we go, I'm just going to eat a little of it. Just a little of it, right? Like, I'm going to be okay. No! David says, God, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with the lies and the junk and the trash of this world. God, I want you. I want you and you alone. Because everything else is going to destroy me. Everything else is going to deteriorate me. God, I want to be pure before you. Guys, listen to Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's anything virtuous, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable act of service or worship. Okay? He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but watch this, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's the deal. You want all that God has for your life? You want to see a big, powerful God use you in a big and powerful way? He says, do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you could test and approve. You can discover what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, when you get to that place, you're going to be in the zone, baby. You're going to be in that place where you're like, this is all that God has for my life, as I'm keeping the crud out. This is the verse I want to end on, you guys. And I want you to hear this. I want you to own this, all right? Own it. Chronicles 69. Chronicles 69. Write that down. 2 Chronicles 69. Here's what it says. I didn't throw it on the screen. It goes, I was hoping you guys could turn there real quick. 2 Chronicles 69 says this. I want this to be your guys' verse. It says this, and I'll read it. It says, for the eyes of the Lord, watch this, they run to and fro through the whole earth. Okay, so here's the deal, guys. Watch, pause with me. Look up here for a second. Okay, God's eyes right now, he says, they're running to and forth through the whole earth. They're just kind of cruising around going, okay, my eyes are scanning this whole planet right now. God is doing this in this moment, in this very second. He says, my eyes are running to and fro through the whole earth. Well, God, why are your eyes running to and fro? What is it that you're looking for? It says this, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Let me break that down for you. This big God in heaven, who created all of heaven and earth, who spoke it into existence, is scanning this whole planet, and he's going, I want to show myself strong. Hear me. I want to show myself strong on behalf of somebody. I want to use somebody's life to show the world how big I am. I want to reveal myself to somebody in a big way. And what am I looking for, God would say? What is it that I need? He says, my eyes are scanning to and fro to show myself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward me. That word perfect, when he says, those hearts that are perfect, that Hebrew word means this. It means unharmed, untainted, mature. Hearts that are untainted from the filth of this world. God says, give me that guy. And I always picture it like this, you know, like this little dude going to get in a fight with somebody. And the guys are coming in on him. They're getting ready to take him down. And just behind this little dude is just this big old like, what's up? You know, this big guy is going, don't mess with him. I'm on his team, right? The guy's like, no, thank you, right? We'll pass. I'm showing myself strong on behalf of this buddy, right? And God's going, that's what I want to do with you. I want to come in behind you. I want to go before you. I want to lead your life and bless your life. Those hearts that are pure toward him. Gang, here's the conclusion. Your perspective is the foundation of who you are. Your thought life, the stuff you allow in, the stuff you keep out. Satan and the enemy is at war to own that in your life. And right now, you guys have been under major attack from every angle. And God is saying, listen, would you be willing to allow me to filter out anything that doesn't belong, anything that shouldn't be there? It's almost like you just open up your life like David and say, God, search me and try me. Know me. See if there's any wicked way in me. God, take your loving and merciful and gracious hand. Grab my life and sift it and pull out the garbage. Maybe even as I'm talking about this tonight, you guys are looking and going, you know what? I know there's things. I know there's little lies that I've allowed to be fed into my heart. Little things that I'm doing that I know are not right and don't line up with what God has.
And tonight, guys, I would just challenge you as we start this weekend off, you would just go, God, remove it. Remove it. You want to show yourself strong. You want to do a big work in a generation. And God, we want to be that generation. We want to be those kids. We want to be those people that open our lives up to you. Gang, listen, would you be the ones? Would you be those that say, God, here am I. I open my life up to you. Would you allow the Lord to filter your lives through his hand? You surrender yourself to him whole. I'm excited to see what God is going to do over this weekend as we open our lives up to him. I'm excited to see what he's going to do in your lives individually, as a group, and through this generation. As you say, Lord, here we are. He's big, you guys. God is so big. Let him show himself to you, reveal himself to you as you surrender to him. Guys, let's pray. Father, we love you. And we thank you so much, Jesus, for your word. God, we thank you so much that although, Jesus, we've blown it, although we've messed up, and Lord, we've failed, we've fallen, that Jesus, you are so willing and so ready to forgive us. Jesus, you tell us that if we would confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And God, right now, I know that there's those in here that have been wrestling with some stuff, Lord. Stuff that doesn't line up with what you have for them. Stuff that, Lord, even right now, they feel your spirit just kind of tugging on. You're dressing, Lord, with your finger. You're pointing out those issues in their life that, God, they need to release to you. And God, even right now, you're working on their heart. And Jesus, I just pray that you give those people right now, those that you're touching, just some strength to say yes to you and to surrender those things. You guys, just as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to ask right now that those of you, as we're just going through this right now, that would just want to say, you know what? I do have some of these issues. I have this thing that I know is not right, and I need to be forgiven. I need Jesus to wash this out of my heart and my life. I want this falsehood to be drug out of my life, and I need truth. I want to say yes to what God would have in this area of my life. You know what? I want to pray for you guys real quick. If you guys would just slip up your hand and let me pray for you, any of you at all, just saying, you know what? I need to surrender this to the Lord. Anyone at all, just slip up your hand. God bless you. God bless you and you. Awesome. Each one of you, listen, the Lord sees what's happening. He knows those things you've been buying on. Lift up your hand nice and high. Come on, don't be ashamed. God bless each one of you guys. You're given a big load of just weight you've been carrying around. You're just throwing it onto Jesus right now. Anyone else, lift your hand nice and high. God bless each one of you. Awesome. Put your hands down. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, those that have just lifted their hands and they're saying, Jesus, take this stuff. Take these falsehoods. Take these things that I've allowed to take root in my life. That Jesus, as they give them to you, that you would just remove them right now. Your word says that when we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And right now before you, as they've given you those things, they're cleansed, Jesus. We love you. What a great place to start this weekend off. And for the rest of us, God, for all of us, we pray with David, Lord. Search us, try us, know us. See if there's any wicked way in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone agreed together and said, amen. 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 Amen.
Well, amen. Guys, give it up for Chris. So excited to see what the Lord's going to do through us and through the word as Chris teaching us this weekend. Hey, before I dismiss you guys, there's a couple things. First off, dude, did you guys have an awesome first night? Yeah. So check this out. Okay, so it is 10:36. Hey, what's this? A cell phone. Oh, I just brought this up for a little demonstration, though. I saw a lot of you guys with your cell phones. Just remember that one of the rules was no technology, guys. You just don't be distracted. Don't just put it away. We saw a lot of people, so I just encourage you guys to put it away. Don't worry about it. Your leaders will tell you what time and things are that are going on. So.